Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So we've heard stories all across the country of healthcare workers being underpaid, overworked, mistreated, all under the guise of, well, you know, there are frontline heroes. There are essential workers. Yeah, they're all of those things. And in many places, we're hearing stories of workers saying, you know what? Had enough. Enough is enough. That's it. And that's what workers at the University of Chicago Medical Center's Ingalls Memorial Hospital have said. Enough. In fact, you know, they say we want better treatment. We want better conditions, wages, all of those things. And, you know, here's the thing. They won one election and then, well, they had to go back and do it again. So if it's not hard enough to win once, you got to do it twice. Still not getting the respect that they deserve from the University of Chicago Medical Center there at Ingalls. And here to share some thoughts on, well, why? How we got to this point, why this is the way it is. I've asked DeLucy LaVea to come talk with us. She's SEIU, HC, Indiana-Illinois Union organizer. She's one of the lead folks on this campaign. DeLucy, thanks for taking time for us.
Yeah, no, thank you, Rick. We really appreciate the platform and, you know, the conversation that's going to happen today about this fight over at Ingalls. So what do you want to know? I can tell you it all.
So walk me through how this whole thing started. I read somewhere that you guys ran a campaign a year or so back during the past administration. Something came up. You won the election. They set it aside. You've run it again, and now you're in this spot. Get me to this point.
Yeah, no, for sure. So basically, workers over at Ingalls Hospital have been trying to unionize for over 20 years. And until recently, 2 years ago, pre-pandemic, it was really just the organizing efforts that pushed the election through a first time. It was a heavy anti-union, union busters being used because the hospital has a resource to do that. They claimed that the first election, the NLRB did a mistake with the envelope. So they said it wasn't a valid victory for the union, although the election was won. So we had two options, and that was under the Trump board, was either rerun that election or, fight it in the court. And we decided to rerun it again. And workers, you know, but the bullet, they ran the election again and they won their union twice. Fast forward to now being at the bargaining table. We've been at the table since late March of this year. And every step of the way, it's just been a struggle. Nurses had actually organized a couple of months before the election, was won through SEIU with a different union. And Ingalls is part of a larger health system, the University of Chicago. You just mentioned that earlier, and they have a union representation over at that campus in Hyde Park with Teamster 743 and NNU for the nurses. And really, we wanted to go to the bargaining table and to uphold that standard that's been fought for at this other campus because they're within the same system, although the management of the bargaining table is claiming that they are not. And really mirror those standards to our hospital workers that we represent over at Ingalls, because they shouldn't be held to a different standard. They're doing the same work. They're delivering the same patient care. But management hasn't done that. And that's kind of where we're at right now at the bargaining table. And honestly, we were going to have a member today to share her story. We were having a little bit of technical difficulties. Right. But wanted to share with you a little bit of our demographic and like the makeup of our membership, because I think that speaks volumes to why we are where we're at in our fight right now.
No, and we're going to bring in Lolita Washington. She's a 29-year employee at Ingalls Memorial Hospital there. Lolita, do I have you there? Lolita, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. I'm here. Steve.
I appreciate you taking a little time for us. Share with me this story. Why are you involved in this? What made you guys, you and your coworkers, decide that this is what you wanted to do?
Well, why did I get involved? I got involved because there was a lot of issues going on at Ingalls. We need better health and safety, better wages, better benefits, equal pay. And it's a lot of disrespect.
Right. And all in this time frame.
There's a lot of unfairness going around, and we're just trying to make a change.
Right. And all in a time when you're supposed to be the essential workers, the frontline heroes. You're put in this position. As I was listening to the organizer talk about the fact that nurses just, you know, right around the corner there are making wages that are higher, to me, that's a major sign of disrespect. And I was looking at their website, and their explanation is, well, you know, those are downtown people. You folks out here, you're not worth that. That's kind of what I took from that.
Yeah, and that's where we're getting from that, because we all are very good workers, and we're here because we care about our patients. We do a good job. All of us, the co-workers, we all like family, and we feel like we're there, we're doing the job, we're taking care of the patients. We feel like we need to be worth taking care of the patients. They need to show us our worth. We're not getting that.
Right.
They're not showing us what we're worth. We're there during the time. We've been there during the whole pandemic, faithfully, and they don't want to pay us.
Now this
they
is
don't want to pay us anything.
This is a company that, you know, as I understand, they're not poor, yet they keep crying poverty. And I do want to bring your organizer, DeLuce, back in here to get some thoughts on this, because, you know, we talked a little bit earlier about, you know, this company and just how wealthy they are. This is not a poor company.
No, it's not.
It's not a
They're
poor
very
company
rich
at all. Actually, and I actually can hear Lolita, but I want to give you some figures. Is that okay?
Please do.
All right. So they're actually a $1 billion health system. UCMC is worth $4.1 billion, including more than $500 million in cash and $1.2 billion in investments. And they actually received more than $400 million in federal COVID-19 support and came out profitable in that year of 2020 of the pandemic with a total profit of $75.5 million.
Wow. So this is not a poor company, and yet one of the things that they're trying to cry is poverty. Because I was looking at their website, you know, and trying to justify why they weren't paying wages on the same level as the other hospitals, and, you know, a whole bunch of the same kind of union busting tactics. So it appears to me from the outside that this is a company that has the resources to pay union busters to build websites and to do the union busting stuff, but they're not willing to pay the wages to keep their employees happy. Seems weird to me.
Yeah, I mean, I can tell you, I think one of the direct relations is that they continue to say that Harvey is in a suburb that opted out of the minimum wage of the $15. And because elected officials opted out, Ingalls doesn't feel responsible to that responsibility of paying folks a livable wage. Instead, they pay poverty wages. We refer to it as a Harvey discount in our campaign, actually. And, you know, this is affecting 365 of their staff, which are union members across a number of different job classifications, including certified nursing assistants, behavioral health techs, phlebotomists, unit secretaries. So it's folks that really are the ones operating that hospital and delivering direct patient care.
Lolita, I want to go back to you for a second, because,
yeah,
you know, when you hear the kind of wealth that this company has, the kind of money that they're throwing around, and then denying you just a basic, what should be a basic living wage, what does that make you feel? What does it make your coworkers think?
It makes us very disappointed. It's like a slap in the face to know that a job that you've been on, you've been very committed. We're very good at what we do, lest we wouldn't be there. We're very caring employees, and we take pride in what we do. And it's just very sad that your management feels like we're not worth getting a raise. We're not worth the pandemic pay. We're just not worth anything. But they're all making six figures. And it's just totally a disappointment. To me, it's a total disrespect.
Now, you've been an employee there for 29 years?
Yes, I have.
And in that 29 years, has the treatment always been like this? Or is this something relatively new? Because, you know, I've talked to nurses across the country. As you see consolidation happen, as you see bigger hospital systems taking over, you become much more of just a number and not an actual person. And the conditions, you know, they start treating you like machinery. Is that your experience here?
That's the experience now. It wasn't always like that. We were always a close-knit family. You can talk to the supervisors. You didn't have this problem. But now, like you say, it's all about the money, the body, and that's it.
Yeah. So in this moment.
The money, the numbers, and the body. That's it.
Right. So in this moment, as you guys are going through this process for a second time, it's hard enough in this country to win an NLRB election one time, but you guys have had to do it now twice. So this shows me that you guys have the resolve to push forward with this. So what's the message to the University of Chicago Medical Center, who own this Ingalls Memorial Hospital? What's the message to them from you and your coworkers?
The message is we're tired. And we're not giving up until we win this fight. We are in it to win it, and we are not giving up.
And that
it's time for a change.
Ultimately, that I hope is the message that they hear out of this. Let me go back to Dulce here for a second, because you know that's the kind of message I've been hearing across the country. Is, you know, people have had, you know, had enough. They're ready to take this on. What's the message for the hospital then in this moment? Because I understand you guys are getting further down the road. What's the message here?
The message is loud and clear. We have a set of priorities. One is that we want to see raises reflective to UCMC's profits that do not leave anyone behind, but raise the floor for everyone to a minimum of 15 to make sure that they don't forget about their most loyal and senior folks and actually bring them to a rate that's worth what the work they do, because at the end of the day, they've been there for 20 plus years. I mean, Lolita's not alone in this story. You have folks that have been there for 20, 25, 30, 40 plus years, make sure that, you know, they do everything in regards to be able to keep them safe, because wages is directly connected. Staffing is directly connected to wages. When you cannot attract employees and retain them, it's a revolving door. And the most affected are the patients and the folks that stick around because they have that loyalty to the organization. But ultimately, I think that our priority here is to make sure that overall we win dignity and respect through all of these priorities, and that they actually put something in the contract that says, look, we're committed to respecting and providing dignity to all of our employees. And I think that's what our win would look like. And the message to the hospital is that our members have spoken and they're ready to take action and willing to do whatever it takes to get through that finish line, because they've been at it for a long time, and now is not the moment to back down. It's in the contrary. It's a moment in time to take action and send a clear message to management through our collective power and our strength in numbers.
Yeah, it's in this moment that especially now that, you know, you've got people who have really had enough of the bad conditions, and I've heard horror stories, especially in our healthcare industry, where a lot of people are leaving because of the stress, the pandemic is taxing people, and then to have an employer who's basically trying to shortchange you at every opportunity, given the fact that they've taken a bunch of government money to help make sure that that people have the ability to pay decent wages, and we keep hearing about these shortages. Don't you want to retain people by paying them the best wage that you can get them, especially considering you're a multi-billion-dollar company? It just seems like a power trip more than it's an economic trip.
Yeah. And can I add something? It's not even about the money because they have it. It's about the power, right? They want to be, they want to make sure that they keep that power ultimately. And at the end of the day, they just need to stop running this place like if it was a business. Like they're actually treating human lives and they need to put value into that. So we're just asking UCMC to do the right thing and to be the leaders in this as they claim that they want to be. So, yeah.
Now, where do you see this going here? Real quick, we got another minute left because I want people to help. I want to know how we can help make, you know, put some pressure where it needs to be, make sure that let them know that the community is behind you, because from what I've seen, you guys have had, have gotten really good community support, which I think is important, especially in a hospital system like the one that you're talking about. So can you talk a little bit to that?
Yeah, so we're back at the bargaining table tomorrow. We ask folks to continue to continue and, you know, to follow our story, because really, I mean, tomorrow we don't know what's going to happen, right? I think that we've shown and sent management a clear message of like, we're all in, but they're unpredictable because they don't care about wasting their money in their tactics, right? So I think continue to follow our story through our social media, SEIU, HCII, Illinois, Indiana, MK, and also, you know, just really look at Harvey. I think that this is the largest employer in the community. We're trying to get local media there. If we can, you know, put some pressure on them through social media and Facebook and just liking our posts when we put them out there. I think tomorrow we'll give an update to through our social media. If people can repost that, right, and tag people within any type of like local organizations that you know are in there, or like even themselves, like please just do so. We want to start a hashtag of Ingalls Do Better, and that's the one that we've been using. If it can trend, that would be great. Ingalls We're Worth More is another one of our hashtags. So just tag us and make some noise for us, because our members need all the support they can get at the hospital.
Dulce, I appreciate the time. Please keep us up to date on what's going on. Lolita, thank you so much. I appreciate your time. Keep up the fight one day longer. Thanks both of you for being here.
No, thank you, Rick.
You know, again, you look at this, and you know, the reality is you've got these big companies that have such power, such outweighed power. And the fact that they're going to use this divide is just remarkable to me. So I wish them the best. I hope they'll come back and give us some thoughts on where this is going to go going forward. I'm going to take a quick break. Right back. Stick around. You listen to The Rick Smith Show. We're working people. Come to talk.
Remembering that united we bargain, divided we beg. Rick Smith.